Hey, this is Bart Baggett with Handwriting University. Thanks for listening to this MP3. This is a very unique audio program. It actually correlates with a special report called How to Analyze Handwriting in 10 Minutes or Less. This actual recording was recorded quite a few years ago, and I think I'm very proud of it. It still makes perfect sense. If you're a beginner, or you know a beginner who's not an expert at handwriting, this simple 10-minute report will actually help you analyze handwriting quickly. It'll show you sort of what to write, what to say, and give you a great overview of some of the basic traits that can help you with beginning handwriting analysis. Now, don't get me wrong, this will not make you an expert, but literally you can glance at some handwriting. 4 or 5 minutes later, you can scan through the book, and you can be analyzing handwriting. It's a wonderful place to start. Look at it online. Listen to this in the MP3 format, and I think you'll enjoy a lot of the stories and a lot of the real stories of how I use it and other people have used handwriting analysis in their everyday life.
My name is Bart Baggett, and I am privileged to be your host as I guide you through an introduction to handwriting analysis. And I make a pretty bold promise how anybody can be analyzing handwriting in 10 minutes or less. Now, you're going to go, Bart, first of all, this tape is 60 minutes long, so how is that possible? Well, the funny thing is you really can take the little deck of cards that comes with this course and be analyzing handwriting instantaneously. Obviously, the more time you spend with the cards, the more time you listen to tapes and read through the material that comes with this program, the better you're going to be. When I first started doing handwriting analysis, maybe 4 or 5 years into it, I had studied all the books I could get my hands on. I had gone to class. I had got certified. I had spent really just, you know, months and months just studying in detail. And I thought everybody had to do that. And then I was proven wrong. And that's kind of what hit me on these simple methods so that anyone can learn how to do it. My crazy friend Ross, and if you ever see Ross, in fact, he's on the video. If you have a copy of the video, he's so funny, and I've known him now almost 8 years. But he took my little deck of cards called the Grapho Deck, and I believe you have a copy of the Grapho Deck or a set of the Grapho Deck with this tape program. And it's a deck of 50 flashcards, actually 51 if you want to be anal retentive about it, with traits on them, and they have a personality trait. And it makes it so easy. It's like a child's game where you spread them out, match trait to trait, picture to picture, and you've got a match. Well, Ross took these cards and he goes, you know what, can I borrow these for a day? I said, sure. And I just met the guy. And he called the next day and he goes, Bart, these cards are fantastic. You've got to come down and see what's happening. I said, well, what are you talking about? He goes, you got to come. He goes, come on. Get in the car. Drive to Marina Del Rey. I was living in California at the time. We walk into this restaurant and every woman in there rushes up to him and says, Ross, you're the handwriting guy. Do my handwriting. I got this friend. I brought my boyfriend's handwriting. Do the chef's handwriting. And I realized he was a social magnet. And I asked him, I said, well, what did he do for you? He says, he is amazing. He told me everything about myself just from the handwriting. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. I'm the handwriting guy. How come he's getting all the attention? And he goes, Bart, these cards are so simple. He goes, I sat up. I spent maybe an hour. I memorized all the cards. And I just know it. I mean, I have to reference them once in a while. And I realized that in 24 hours, really in an hour, he learned it. And he said, Bart, anybody can do this. Now, obviously, if you don't have a photographic memory, if you're not as quick learner as Ross, it may take you more than 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Give yourself a little break. But you, too, can learn the fundamentals by memorizing individual traits. And if you want to get real technical and you want to be professional and you want to have theoretical discussions on handwriting, sure, there is more to it than 51 traits. But I'll tell you what, for 51 traits, it is the most compact, powerful information you can ever have on somebody. We go through sex drives to self-esteem to emotional outlay to high self-esteem, low self-esteem. We talk about whether someone's honest, has integrity, whether they lie to you or not, whether they're angry at the opposite sex, great for dating, male, women in the office. All these different applications just come from 51 traits. And it's almost like a painting. You know, there's only, what, 4 primary colors, 6 primary colors? Help me out, you art majors. There's only a few primary colors. And if you mix them together, you get hundreds of different shades. Well, that's what happens with the handwriting traits. You take these, actually, there's only 26 basic traits, and I've created 51 for you. You stack them together, you get totally different personality traits. So you may not be an expert in 10 minutes, but you will be what I call a social magnet, and you may not even have any interest at all in being the head of a party, but you will find that people that learn how to analyze handwriting, when you learn how to analyze handwriting, people will be drawn to you. I always get free desserts at coffee shops and free drinks at bars, and people want to be analyzed. I always get upgraded to first class and when I fly in airplanes. simply because when you say, hey, you know, if you bring me a sample of your handwriting, I'll analyze your handwriting, I get accepted with that invitation probably 9 times out of 10. And the other time is because someone maybe has had it done recently. It was funny. Some of you will never go on to make $100 an hour analyzing handwriting. Some of you will never do radio and TV shows. A lot of you will. And a lot of you will take the further courses and learn how to do that. But there's so many advantages to learning handwriting. You've got the social advantage of just being friendly. You understand them like nobody else. You will have people say, you know me better than my best friends know me. And you're like, wow, I only saw a few traits. But really you do, because some of the core values of people, you can tune in and spot immediately from handwriting. And sometimes it takes months and months elsewhere. What I find out is one of my students, Bob Woods, wrote me a letter. And he says, Bart, he goes, I read the cards for 15 minutes. Of course, referring to the Graffo deck. He says, I got it. He goes, I'm so grateful. It has totally transformed my social life. It's like being a superstar. People just line up to talk to me. I thought that was great. Here is a tool. You know, you've got shy people all over the world. Can't even talk to other people, especially if they're single. If you're in sales, you just need something to break the ice with people to talk about. And it's always been talk about substance. What really matters? Well, people matter. And everyone loves to talk about their favorite person, which is themselves. So I thought a second, well, you know, maybe Ross is just a genius. Maybe he can take these cards and he can have women lined up to meet him and he can memorize them overnight, but I'm not sure anybody else can. But as I found out, it's not that way. Anybody who uses these cards, use them. I get letters a lot where people say, Bart, it's like the American Express card. I just don't leave home without the cards. So I want you to get out your Graffo deck. It's a little deck of cards. The most recent version is printed on orange and orange and green. And open up the deck of cards and take a look at them, because these are going to be your easiest and most fun teacher you ever have. And if you're a woman, just stick it in your purse, carry it with you. The man, put it in your coat pocket, and you can always be looking at these cards with everybody you meet. While you're getting that out, I'm going to tell you a story. When I was just 14 years old, I was exposed to handwriting analysis. It was summer, I guess. I was headed to church camp, and my dad leaned over. He goes, give me a sample of your handwriting. And I said, well, what are you talking about, a sample of my handwriting? Isn't that silly? He says, no, just shut up and give me a sample of your handwriting. So I wrote a sample of my handwriting. He started illustrating everything in my mind, my fears, my self-consciousness, my self-esteem, my ambitions, all the different temperaments. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And he not only did that, because I figured he could probably know that because he was my father, but he pointed it out step by step of where he got it. He said, look, don't believe me. He goes, take this book. And it was a book, in fact, the same book that comes in our home study course by Dr. Ray Walker. He said, flip to the back where the dictionary is. Take somebody's handwriting. Go back to your bunk. Write out the definition that you read. Compare it to the handwriting and take it back and see if it works for you. I said, deal. I will do that and we'll see if this works or not. First of all, I did all the people in my cabin. They thought I was blown away. I did all the counselors. And by the end of the week, I had done almost everybody in camp. And I was back, 80-90% accurate. They tell me it was incredible. And I'm like, all I'm doing is just comparing the strokes on the page with what's in the dictionary. Well, the Graffo deck is your dictionary. And if you have a copy of The Secrets to Making Love Happen, which is one of the first books I wrote, the dictionary back then is even more comprehensive than the dictionary I had at 14 years ago. So it's that simple to compare strokes on the strokes. It really is that great. There was a side benefit to the story with the camper that I didn't imagine that I would ever get, was that not only did I understand people and the handwriting worked, but I got, at the end of the camp, I got to stand up in front of everybody and do the analysis of the camp counselor. And, of course, when you're young, it's a big deal to speak in front of people. But I spoke in front of the crowd, and I realized that, wow, this is really accurate, and wow, they really liked me. And I had told that the camp counselor was very unorganized and a little scattered, and that was kind of embarrassing for him. Something else happened to me besides giving a lecture, which obviously led to the career that I'm doing now, which is teaching people this. But I got Best Camper Award, which means they voted, the kids voted, that I was their favorite person. And I thought, me? Little old sarcastic me? You know, I never got most popular anything. A little scrawny punk. What happened was that because I was doing handwriting, I was talking about people's favorite person, which was themselves. And in return, they liked me because I cared about them. And I was giving a present. So, you know, if you want to go give something away, go give the handwriting away. Give a little compassion. people respond with maybe not flowers and trophies like, you know, I got, but they will respond, and it's a wonderful gift to give people. So that's one of the side benefits of doing the handwriting analysis. And, of course, the third benefit is it changed my life. Literally, as soon as I started studying with Dr. Walker, he taught me graphotherapy, which was changing your handwriting and changing your life. We'll go over a couple of those strokes as we get into it. I've got a couple of books that are specifically for changing the handwriting of adults and changing the handwriting of kids, because there's certain things you want to change and don't want to change, and I'll go into those a little bit more. Now, if you would, I'd like to get out your Grapho deck, which is a little deck of cards that came with that, and I'm going to get out mine here, and I'm going to open it up right with you. So if you take open the cellophane, we're available. Can you hear that? Oh, I opened a brand new fresh Grapho deck. I love the sound of that. This is my favorite product. This is actually my oldest product, for one I started with, and this is kind of what launched the whole business and the whole the helping industry of other people. Okay, so you flip it open. You notice that one of the cards pops down. It says, "Yes, Bart, send me a free special report." Take a moment, fill that out, and even if you can't write on the plastic, send in my name and address, because I don't know that I have your name and address, and I can't send you updates, I can't send you free reports, and I can't let you know about new products that come along. Flip side of stuff is information on the free reports, little other products card. Now, if you open it up and flip it over, you've got a card that says instructions. You can glance over that, and it basically says get a sample of cursive handwriting, look at the strokes, read the description, and tell the person what the writing reveals. It really is that simple. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, if you open up that card, move that, you have the first card, which is aggressiveness. If you'll notice, if you kind of thumb through them, they are in alphabetical order. And start with aggressiveness all the way through to talkativeness, and temper will be the last card. So if you're looking for a letter with a Z in it, then you're not going to find one. Aggressiveness is the first card. And I want you to know that if you want them in order, what you might want to do before you even get started is do a little trick that I had, which is you take a hole punch, take the upper right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, your choice, and punch a hole through it. Then get a key ring and put a key ring through them. That way you can keep them on your key ring, but most importantly, they're all together and they're all in order, because what you'll do is you'll remember, wait, that's a comprehensive thinker. That's in the C's, and you'll look in the C's, because otherwise they're not in any other order. So you might want to do that before you get started. Meantime, let's look at the card, because I want to use these cards, because if you follow the instructions precisely, people will think you're a total genius. Now, isn't that worth the price of investment? People will be telling, you're so a genius. In fact, I had this really great student, and her name is Casey, and she says, Bart, people think I'm intelligent. I said, Casey, you are intelligent. She says, no, but, you know, I just finished high school, never went to college. People never call me intelligent. But with the handwriting, and I do their handwriting, they think I'm a genius. So if you want that, this is definitely do it. Now, here is what the secret is. Don't elaborate on stuff you don't know about. Don't take guesses, you know, the WAG, wild blank guess. What you do is look at the card, compare the writing that you're looking at to the exact stroke. Now, what do you know what stroke? I've had people look through the whole deck and go, you know what, Bart? Nothing looks like me. It's not me. These cards don't match. Nothing looks like my handwriting. Well, they're not looking at it. They're not reading the description. They're just glancing at it. And with as many different people as we have, not everyone looks the same, okay? But remember, you have to look at the individual strokes. So several. In the word aggressiveness, in the letter Y, G, and it looks like J, read the card. It says, shown by hard right upstrokes that replace a lower loop. So now what are we looking for? Any letter with a lower loop and a hard right upstroke. Look at the green arrows. It has a point to it, exactly where you're looking at it. So obviously, if you don't have someone with those little strokes, you go to the next card. Ambivert. Now, this is a little more difficult because it has a graph on it. It's got a sample of the writing, which is a sample of what you should look like. But are we looking at the fluffiness? We're looking at the thickness? No, we're looking by the first sentence, shown by a person's slant that is midway between vertical and hard right slanted. Look at the little graph. The 1, 2, 3, 4th line is covered with a little round dot, the middle of the road. If you know what ambivert means, it's basically kind of like ambidextrous, you know, has both both tendencies, extrovert and introvert. And if you're curious, read the definition. This person relates to both introverts and extroverts while keeping a level head, even amidst the existence of emotional feelings, such as empathy, sympathy, and even passion. Falls in the middle of the road category on many issues. If you don't understand the definition, please read it. And in fact, I would encourage you, when you are describing the traits to people, to never use the definitive word, meaning the definition. Now, it's going to be easy because we're lazy. Remember them by a catchphrase like ambivert, introvert, perfectionist. But if you will do this for the first 20 days, if you will promise yourself never to use the trait name, memorize the definition, people will think you're a total genius because you're describing their behavior, not giving them a psycho pop psychology word that they have different variations for. For example, if you flip to the last card called temper, what does temper mean to you? For some people, it means throwing knives at people. It means throwing chairs through walls. Some people, it means raising their voice. So it depends on what background you're from and what those words mean. But if you read it and says, you know, the more it says, shown by a T-bar, this cross predominantly on the right side of the stem, the easier irritation will cause them to lose control of their emotion. Okay? Sometimes it'll blow up quickly. So if you read the definition, you get it right every time. One of the funniest things about the handwriting analysis is that people give me stuff free everywhere I go. So in order to recoup your investment as quickly as possible, I want you to go out tonight to a restaurant, bar, church, whatever your choice, and have people buy you a Coke or a coffee or a drink or somewhere and notice how much rapport you get. There's something magical about what happens with the Grapho deck and handwriting is people will come up and talk to you. And I've had students that call me and say, you know what, I'm not really getting it. I say, well, how many people have you learned, have you done, have you analyzed? Oh, I haven't done any. I'm studying. I'm sitting around and I'm studying and I'm studying before I actually expose myself to other people. I said, big mistake. Go out and practice with other people. They will teach you the business. If you take the cards with you, the cards are wrong, not you. So take your ego out of it and go learn. By the way, the cards aren't wrong, but your interpretation might be wrong. I want to mention one more time that when you look at somebody's writing, don't look for the overall, what I call the mess of the writing, N-E-S-S, vagueness, smallness, sloppiness, uptightness, because you'll make a huge mistake. There is a field of handwriting analysis called graphology. It deals with the ness, N-E-S-S, and I find a lot of beginners using that techniques are completely off and make fools of themselves everywhere they go. So I want you to look at individual strokes only, focus on what's in the Grapho deck, read the cards, and they'll think you're a total genius. But what's going to, a magical thing happens is after you talk to them a few minutes, they'll realize very quickly, wow, this isn't a game. This is really serious. This stuff really works. So in my case, I was doing this for a number of years just for free coffees and desserts and just to meet people. And finally, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow, this could make me some money. This could make a career out of me. And what spawned it was actually a nice man. He says, son, you're really good at this. Would you mind doing handwriting at my son's bar mitzvah? And I thought, okay, well, sure. And he said, how much do you charge? And I said, well, how much do you want to pay me? He goes, well, if you're available Friday night, I'll pay you $100 an hour. And, of course, I almost choked and spit out my coffee and, oh, no. And I said, of course, so that's fine. That's what I charge. You know, just going, thank God, thank God, thank God. And then it really hit me. You know, people will pay for this because it's unusual, it's unique, and it's very, very accurate. So not only did I leave the party with $200 in my pocket, I had, you know, 45 new best friends or so they acted like they were. And people didn't think I was a psychic, and they didn't think I was a parlor trick. And they didn't even question my age. Remember, I was very young at the time, 16, 17 years old. What I noticed is people respected me because, you know what, I was accurate. If I wasn't accurate, it wouldn't have worked. So trust in the science. Trust that you can learn how to do it. And if you want to, and you want to make $100 an hour, there are ways to do that. I think you may need a little more experience than just the Grapho deck, but it's not difficult to find ways to make money doing this. I had mentioned earlier about the concept of graphotherapy, which is changing your handwriting to change your personality or to change life, and that really crosses some people sideways. They're like, huh? Okay, I'm just getting this handwriting stuff, Bart. Now you're telling me that by changing my handwriting, my life will change? And basically what it comes down to is if you change your neurology, change your body, you change your posture, it affects your brain. And it is really logical if you've studied any kind of neuro-linguistic programming, any kind of neurology, is that our mind and our body are totally connected. And without going into massive details on the electrodes in your fingers and why it works, let me just tell you that when I learned it, I was 14, 15 years old. And I didn't question it. And I probably couldn't have understood the definition if you paid me or you sat down and explained it to me. So here's what happened. I'm young. Dr. Walker says, Bart, you're too sensitive to criticism. I said, I know. You know, I have to wear exactly what everyone else wears. I feel self-conscious. I can't talk to pretty girls. All the problems that a lot of kids have. Worried about being popular. All these different things. He says, look, if you raise your T-bar, your self-image will go up. If you stop looping your D, you won't be that sensitive to criticism. If you would stop bracing your T, you won't be that stubborn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are certain things that I didn't change on purpose because there are certain elements of handwriting that you don't want to mess with where you could have some negative side effects because it's a very complicated personality. So if you wouldn't start doing therapy on somebody with, you know, one class in psychology. But the pretty safe thing is the T. That's a good self-image. And I go into detail, again, on what's safe to change and what isn't in the Graphotherapy Works book. But let me tell you what happened. I changed my T-bar, and with 30 days, I noticed I had a little more confidence. And I noticed that I was focusing a little better on my grades, and some things were happening. I was talking to people that I hadn't talked to before. I wasn't near as sensitive to criticism. My dad could, you know, tell me that I did something stupid or that I needed to go take out the trash, and I wouldn't take it personally. It was more like, oh, okay, I'll handle it now. And my behavior got better. But I guess what you got to look at is a long-term effect. This is when I was, I guess Dr. Walker was doing that with me when I was 15, 16 years old. And by the time I was 21, not only had I graduated from Pepperdine University, but I had written a book. And within a couple of years after that, I was on national TV. I had a book published in every bookstore. Why? Was it because I'm God's gift to success? Is it because I'm the most talented handwriting expert in the world? No, none of that. I don't know if any of that's true. What I do know is that because of my T-bar being raised, because I had confidence, I now set my goals way beyond the norm. You know, I made up my mind when I was 16 years old, I'm going to publish a book. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be famous. And, of course, at the time, I'm a little kid from suburban Texas with no particular skills and never even spoke in front of an audience except at summer camp a few years earlier. What right did I have to want to be famous and for people to listen to me? It has no right. We all have rights. It's decision. It's a decision to take a stand, decision to set a goal, decision to have the confidence to risk failure. And believe me, did I risk failure? Absolutely. I've had some of the best psychologists in the country look at me and say, Bart, you're too intelligent to pursue this. Pursue something more conservative. Pursue something more logical. You know what? Hey, I did it. And I'm happy. And I've changed thousands of people's lives because of it. Because I had this strong internal frame of reference to raise my self-image, to listen to my own voice in my head and do what it took. And I don't think you should emulate me. You should emulate anybody that you find successful. But I'll tell you what changed my life was the handwriting. It absolutely changed my fear of failing, changed my fear of other people. So it really will surprise you how effective it can be. So if you've got kids, get the kids' workbook, start them off with the T-bar, and go for it. Okay? You'll be surprised that you'll probably write me letters in a year and say, oh, Bart, I can't believe what happened. I want to tell you about how accurate the science of handwriting analysis really is. It's really not handwriting, it's brain writing. Because we've had people that have lost even their arms in a war or tragic accidents. They learn to write with their feet or with their head or their mouth, and their writing comes out the same. I had a friend in college with a terrible neurological disease, and when he got tired, his handwriting was just sloppy. He could barely even walk. He had to use crane. He had to use the walking sticks. But when he was not tired, he could walk pretty much normal. Well, in both cases, his handwriting was incredibly sloppy, incredibly heavy, very jagged, but the personality was absolutely accurate. Because I asked him, I said, is this accurate this time? And I looked at it, and you know, the strokes were exactly the same. The overall NESS, N-E-S-S, was completely different. So focus on the strokes. If you ever watch TV or read the newspaper, you'll find out that corporations worldwide are using handwriting analysis. In France, the Wall Street Journal reported that 80% of all French companies use handwriting analysis to screen their employees. Now, I thought that's a pretty good number, 80%. And part of the reason is that the unemployment rate is at 12% in France. It's very competitive. And so they need every possible tool that you can get the best employee. And they absolutely use it over there. Israel's the same way. America now is again catching up to the rest of the world in this particular science. We usually lead the world in some things. One of the latest TV shows, I think it was Nightline or 60 Minutes, said that over 6,000 U.S. companies are now screening their employees with handwriting. And, of course, countless other psychologists and individuals like you and me that just use it for our own personal benefit. The police catch criminals. Did you know that down in Florida they use handwriting experts in the customs? They look at the customs card when you come in the country, and if your handwriting looks like that of a criminal, then they pull and search your bags. If you look like you write like an upstanding citizen, they don't bother you. So it's used all over the country. It's used very quietly. A lot of the banks, if you ever have an application where you actually write your name or fill out anything, then they're probably having a handwriting expert screen it. Of course, not all me. There's probably hundreds of good handwriting analysts in the country. You just don't hear about all of them. And if you're curious about how to market yourself, that's a wholly different program. But, hey, if I can do it, you can do it because you can raise your T-bar too. I want to give you the three steps to instantly analyzing handwriting. My friend Phyllis taught me this, and my 80-year-old Phyllis, which is on some of the other tapes in this course, is 6'2", platinum blonde. We call that gray hair. She simply says a quickie simple. It's a skimmer. It's an overview. And it's what I do on the radio shows. A lot of you heard me on a radio or maybe even a TV show. I usually have them write the same sentence. My crazy friend Ross taught me many, many years ago. And he made up the sentence that says, "The purple people eater at the zoo said you and your monkey go home." A DJ asked me recently, "What happened to the quick brown fox?" I said, well, that bored me. I didn't want to be the same as everybody else. So now I have them write that sentence, or here's another sentence I like. "You and your silly monkey don't go home to the zoo." Why do I have that sentence? Real simple. I want Y's. I want T's. I want D's. I want a K, which is why I usually use the word monkey. And I want a variety. And that's really all it takes. Now, obviously, if you're going to be 100% accurate, you want to add up all the T's, all the D's, take a percentage of them. So the more handwriting, the better. For example, if I was going to make a definitive relationship recommendation, then I would want more than one little sentence. I would have two or three pages. In fact, there's a whole industry that, believe it or not, men actually go to Russia and China and these different countries, and they meet wives, and they write pen pals for, 15, 20 different wives. They get the top three or four, and they mail me or other handwriting experts their handwriting and says, hey, which one should I marry? And in those cases, I want 3, 4, 5 pages so that I can really see the substance and the depth and count up each time a temper stroke comes up or a self-deceased stroke. Now, here's the way you do it. You take your silly sentence written on a napkin or whatever you have, and you look at the first thing is the most obvious trait that pops out. And this is my three steps simple method to analyzing handwriting. What pops out? Is it a circle I dot? Is it a very large capital on the P? Is it a T that's right on the top? Is it a Y that's 6 times the lower zone? What is the most obvious thing? Because the most obvious thing will probably be their most predominant personality trait. If it is a stroke going up and to the right off the end, they probably have a strong need for attention. And that's going to be their primary attribute. Circle I dot, they're going to need to be different. The big Y's, they're going to have really big imagination, a lot of exaggeration, and, of course, big sex drives. So you look at the most obvious thing. The second thing I look at, and this is, of course, my quick analysis. This is great for parties. This is great if you're on a radio interview, TV interview. It's great to impress people because you're just getting the top three things. The second thing is the slant. I always look for the slant because the slant tells me if someone's going to cry at sad movies, obviously to the right, if someone is going to be cold and introverted, if someone slants backwards, like to the left, even if I get the best analysis in the world, they're probably going to go, "Oh, thank you, that was very interesting." Cold as ice. They're not going to smile, they're not going to smirk, and they're not going to frown, they're not going to show their feelings, because people that write up and to the left have the introverted quality to them. And the third thing you do after you get the slant, you actually look at the depth. And I don't go into the depth in the cards, I do go into it in the relationships book and some of the other material. The heavier someone writes, the harder and the more intense their emotions are. For example, I say if you write very heavy that you may forgive, but you never forget. And people that write real light, they get over arguments real quick. And the other third thing you look for is the traits, the individual traits. What else really jumps out? And what I do is that I would go through the cards one by one and just look at the different strokes. I usually start at the letter T or the letter Y, because the T has 13, 14, 15 different traits in there. The Y's got about 7 different variations. And there's a great chart in the letter Y in the relationships book, All the Secrets to Making Love Happen, with the 8 or 9 different ways to make a Y and all the different variable meanings. Let's take a moment now to look at some of the individual strokes that are found in the graphodeck. The first one, if you flip to the S's under strong sex drive, you'll find this card. Now, why did I pick strong sex drive? Because everybody wants to know about sex. And even if you're 80 years old and have 6 grandkids, the people you analyze will always want to know about their sex life. And it is about their sex life. It's also about their physical life. You see, anything in the lower zone is physical action, sex. Anything in the upper zone, like H's or T's, is philosophy, religion, ideas. So you look at the strong sex drive, it says, shown by a long, wide lower loops that extend deeply into the lower zone using heavy pen pressure. This person gets bored easily and needs variety in life. The physical drives are strong and deep, providing lots of energy and imagination in the physical realm. Long, hard, heavy pen pressure makes a strong sex drive. Of course, that's also a strong physical drive, meaning action, exercise, etc. Grab your grapho deck. We're going to go into more detail, and then you're going to start practicing on everybody that you meet. Now, we left off on the other side talking a little bit about the lower loops and sex drives. And everybody wants to know about their sex drives, and it's really no big deal. The bottom loops are the sex drive. The upper loops are the philosophy and imagination. And if the bigger the loops are, the bigger their imagination is. So not everyone takes out their imagination. Of course, in the bedroom, a lot of them take it out in exercise. But something does still hold true. If you have very small loops, you're probably not as physical as the people with very large loops or lower drives. One of the most important things is what we call slant. And slant is the actual angle of the entire handwriting on the page. And there's three cards that demonstrate slant better than I could probably describe it, you know, verbally on the tape. And if you have the books or the other courses, it actually goes into five different categories of slant. But in the cards, I only included three because it hits the three major zones. You have middle of the road, which is called ambivert, like ambidextrous. You have emotional responsiveness, which is another word for impulsive. In fact, I think on one of the other tapes I refer to the emotional responsiveness as the impulsive card. We've updated them. And emotionally withdrawn. You see, I stay away from the word introvert and extrovert because there's some other characteristics that psychologists will argue with me on those. So responsive emotionally means if something happens emotionally, they're going to cry, respond, temper something. Very feeling. Slanted to the right. Slanted to the left is emotionally withdrawn. Common question, what if I'm left-handed? It doesn't matter. You compensate, okay? You compensate when you grow up and you learn how to handle it. So look at those three cards. Like emotional responsiveness card is a hardward right-hand slant reveals the hard-ruled, moody, impulsive person. The farther the handwriting slants to the right, the more this person is subject to emotional stimuli. I like to relate people that have very hard right-hand slant to actors, to actresses, to people that are in sales, people that just need to express feelings. They're absorbed. They're obsessed with feelings. Actually, a lot of people that are manic depressive have a hard right-hand slant. If you've read one of the books, it's actually an E-plus slant is the clinically correct title. A very emotional subject to your feelings at all time, opposed to someone that's very logical, cool, calm, and collected, which is straight up and down. Your addictive personalities, addicted to adrenaline, to drugs, to alcohol, tend to be the hard right-hand slant because emotions and state is what they lack. They want to get a better state. They want to get a fix, and that's all emotional. They don't have a lot of control. But they do express their feelings better, and I do find that a lot of people are a lot more fun because they're very expressive and outgoing and lively, and they do whatever the moment feels like. If you notice that sometimes I stack traits, like talk about someone that is maybe a good communicator will be a right-hand slant, a fluidity of thought with talkative nature. And so you have these different traits. The stacking of the traits is what makes people an expert. And so what happens when you start evaluating traits and stacking one onto the next, that's when you move to the next level, which is really what your goal is, to be able to describe character in detail. One of the clinical categories that has gotten me in trouble in the past is the word nymphomaniac. And I use it in a fun way, you know, like at the party. I'll say, okay, I found the nymphomaniac. And we know everybody laughs. But what it is, it's someone who has a need for sex. And it's not a single card. Just because someone has a big lower Y does not make them a nymphomaniac. So to be clinically correct, I want to outline what you would find. You'd have to have an impulsive behavior, obviously. You would have to have a low self-esteem, which is the low T-bar. And you probably have to have the really big sex drive as well. And those three together may make someone a little more promiscuous. Another trait that may jump out at you is anything in the letter T. I always like to have lots of letter T's because if the T is in the middle of the word, you've got all these different strokes. And I do caution you, because if it's at the start of a word, like, for example, the word tatter, T-A-T-T, if that's a word, tatter, it can have a downstroke and not necessarily have the upstroke. So some of the things, and at the end of the word, sometimes you have a little different meaning too, but if it's in the middle of the word, you get all the different elements from stubbornness to high self-esteem, low self-esteem, to procrastination on the left side, to temper on the right side, and then how the T-bars actually cross. What does it look like? Is it a sharp point, which is sarcasm? It is blunt, which is kind of a positiveness. Is it slanting up, which is optimism, slanting down, which could be dominant or even pessimism? There's so many different things in the letter T, and it's not broken down in the letter T. It's by each trait. So, for example, high self-esteem is under the H's, high self-esteem, high cross T-bar. And, of course, I encourage everyone to go ahead and have a high self-esteem. When you see traits, for example, that are not necessarily good, at least in your opinion, be diplomatic. If you don't have diplomacy in your handwriting, look in the letter D and make your M's go downhill. For example, if you're doing a handwriting and the letter T-bar is very low, then that's a low self-esteem. But don't look at the person and say, hey, you've got a low self-esteem. Your self-esteem is lower than whale dung, and that's on the bottom of the ocean. How do you live with yourself? Ha, ha, ha. Not could. Because what happens is your word actually does damage. So let's say that they do have a self-esteem, and they thought they had a medium self-esteem. Well, now it's even lower. So if you could do a lot of damage, so what you want to do is you want to try to turn everything into positive. And especially if you're doing this for free. If someone's paying you, you need to be as direct as you can, but then give them an alternative. I know that your self-esteem has struggled in the past, but here is an option to make yourself feel better. You're the one standing in your way. It's like, you know, you stay in bad situations too long. I might also say you look in the mirror, see your imperfections. You know, I look at you, see a good-looking young man or woman, and if you could use a boost in your self-esteem, then you would get out of bad relationships a little bit sooner. You would set your goals higher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you always want to turn the bad traits into something positive. And occasionally people will ask me, Bart, don't you ever say anything bad about anybody? And I say, I do say bad things about people, but I always word them in a positive light. And so there's no reason to hurt people's feelings unless it's very constructive, which means, you know, you'd be constructive criticism. And some people will take it personally anyway, and that's hard not to if they have a big sensitive to criticism. For example, if they are sensitive to criticism, look in the S's under S, you will have a huge loop in the letter D or T. Letter D is personal self, meaning clothes, makeup, hair, etc. And the T is sensitive to criticism and ideas and philosophies. Now, these are one of my 10 hell traits. Actually, I think I have 9 hell traits in The Secrets to Making Love Happen, which is the relationships book. And these hell traits are the exact same if you're running a business. These are the traits that you want to avoid, you want to be careful of. If you're in a relationship with someone who has them, they're going to make your life very difficult at times, and you want to point them out. I won't go through all 9 of them, but I do want to mention a few of them because they're in the Grapho deck and it's very important. Things like lives of the moment, things like dual personality, the stingers, which is the needs for a challenge, is the name of the card. That's essential if you're dating. If you're married, then you need to check it out to make sure your wife or husband doesn't have this one. If they do, then you know how to react to it. I want to mention the slant one more time. Ambivert, emotional responsive, emotional withdrawn. Those are the 3 major cards you need to look for, and you will get the slant. Again, there's 5 different slants depending on if you want to go farther in the process of learning this. The 3-step process is very simple, and in review, let me give you that for the quick year, the skimmer analysis. First, you get a sample of handwriting in cursive. Second, you look for the most obvious trait that jumps off the page, a T or Y or an I, etc. And third, you look at the slant and decide how expressive that person is or how they react emotionally. So 3-step process. If you memorize that, you can be doing the analysis in 60 seconds, and people will think you're a total genius. When I first started doing handwriting, I had no intention of being a professional. In fact, as I told you when I got started, I was just a young kid. I got into handwriting analysis because it was insightful. It gave me understanding of how human beings worked, how people thought. I could predict people's behavior. I could have empathy for people. I actually understood them for the first time in my life. And in some cases, instead of feared them or hated them, I loved them. I understood them. It made a huge impact on me as a person, and I thought, well, I can share this information. what really kicked it off was when the man offered me $200 to spend a couple of hours at a party. I thought, this is great. But when I got to college, I started thinking, you know, Bart, you can go to college and get a college degree and be respected, and I didn't want to be a party favor because I thought it was below me to just do parties. Well, now I'm a little different because I realize $100 an hour is quite a nice income. And so if some people think that you're a party favor, it doesn't bother you much as it used to. And I think it bothered me more when I was trying to be somebody. But now that I've done all the publicity stuff and been on all the TV and radio shows, it really doesn't matter anymore. But like I mentioned before, I'm not as concerned about what people think of me as I used to, although I still have a lot of pride. My point is that I wanted to test the market. And so during college, I would test this handwriting thing, knowing I had a backup called like a real job and an education. So I did things like place ads in Psychology Today, and I would run little ads here and place flyers, and I tested seminars. I always, you know, had a safety valve called college, and I could always do something different. So I want to read you the ad that I placed in Psychology Today, which really kicked off quite a number of events, which started to verify my suspicion that maybe I can make a full-time living at handwriting analysis. Maybe there is really a market there. The ad read something like this. It said, handwriting analysis experiment, complete 8-page written analysis. Please send just $10, quote, unquote, administrative cost, and a page of your handwriting to Graphical Analytics for professional analysis. Your opinion of results requested. And again, I was taking the approach of kind of a test study. And it really was a test study because what I was doing was actually testing the market to find out what had happened. What did happen is I got, 30 or 40 of these envelopes with $10 bills in them. And I thought, whoa, now I've got to do all these handwriting analysis. And quickly what happened was I thought, well, if I keep running this ad, I'm going to have 10, 20, 30, 40 analysis a month that I'm going to have to individually write out. Although I didn't mind writing it out, I thought, well, what if I could make a computer program to help me out, word processors, et cetera. Now, the Macintoshes were just coming out, and I was a young college kid, so I thought Macintoshes were the end-all and be-all. So I invented a program called Grapho, and it's included in our marketing package, Grapho 1.0, Grapho 1.2. And what it is, it's a Macintosh-based computer, and we'll be transferring to IBM soon, so that you can take all the individual traits, much like on the personality inventory, in chapter one of my Secrets to Making Love Happen book, and almost like the Grapho deck, what you do is you push a button and it actually spits out a whole paragraph labeled with the gender and the person's name in the paragraph. So I was doing these, comprehensive 5, 6, 7-page analysis in like 10, 15 minutes on my computer program. And I thought, this is really good. I added up what I made and I thought, wow, maybe it's taking me half an hour each. I'm making $20 an hour. If I could speed it up, I was making $30, $40 an hour. And so it's funny because today I charge $150 for the same analysis and I use the same program with a little bit of customization. So it's kind of amazing what you can do. So that's kicked me off of advertising. And then I placed an ad in some of the local papers and I got a letter from a guy. He was a doctor. He's a psychologist. And he sent me a sample of handwriting, sent me $75 for a written analysis, and I was going up in scale. I was really excited about this. And I sent him the analysis. I didn't hear from him for 2 or 3 weeks. And then he sent me a letter back and said, Bart, I want you to know that that really helped me a lot. The insight to that person was so valuable. He told me all these great things. And then he said, I tell you what, I've dated that girl for years and I didn't understand her. So it was actually his girlfriend. So I was real pleased that a psychologist with all his background and training actually approved of handwriting analysis. And you'll find that more and more and more people, psychologists and doctors and lawyers, they'll be approving of handwriting analysis because it is so, so valuable. I want to talk now a little bit about the hell traits, which we mentioned on before, and your love life. So whether you're single and you're looking for the perfect mate, or you found the perfect mate 30 years ago and you're just learning about relationships in a review sort of format, and maybe relationships at work and around the golf course, this will be very insightful for you. The first book I wrote is called The Secrets to Making Love Happen. It's not in bookstores anymore, so if you start looking for it, you can't find it. It's only available through our office here at Empress Publishing. But that book is all about compatibility. And I started with the mission of what two handwriting samples will be most compatible. And what I found out was it depends. There are so many different variables in handwriting. But what I did find is a couple of theories that worked, and that was consistent through all of psychology, is the more similar people are, the more they tend to get along for the long term. And research bears this out. If you are like somebody else, rapport, if you're in rapport with them, then you tend to have longer-term relationships. funny thing is, often opposites attract. So the opposite traits attract, but they don't stick. It's an interesting theory when you're thinking about that. What I mean by hell traits is these are my dates from hell. And, of course, these are in a dating context, but I could probably take the same context and put it in business and say these are business partners from hell. And so I look at the different traits. I want to go through a couple of the hell traits, three or four of them, so that you can get your feet wet and really understand what it means, because they're much more complicated than a little 2x4 deck of cards can illustrate. So the first one is called jealousy. So if you go to the J card under in the Grapple deck, under J, you'll find it says jealousy. And jealousy says a tight beginning loop that is a small and almost square. It must make a completely closed circle. Now, if it's real big, it doesn't mean they're more jealous. Traits don't work that way in handwriting. It's not always the opposite. But that's jealousy, and I've seen that a few times. It's interesting enough, though, jealousy can show up in other areas of the handwriting, but not an isolated trait. For example, there's this guy I know that had a really insatiably jealous girlfriend. She didn't have any jealousy traits. What she did have was a low self-esteem, and she had a background with a fear of being left. Therefore, the self-esteem said she wasn't good enough. Therefore, she also had a CD slant. She had a very methodical perfectionist. Everything had to be in its place, and when she felt threatened, meaning I'm not good enough, she began to get possessive. So if you stack 6 or 7 traits together, you can also get jealousy, but if you're going to stick to the fundamentals, then look for the little tight letter loop in the letter M or Y or W or T, like the card jealousy says. The second hell trait is called lives for the moment, and this is really important, especially if you're using the Grapple deck to hire people or you want long-term relationships. Because people that live for the moment do not have long-term relationships, at least not consistently, because what they're doing is they are living in today, in the now. It's actually quite zen if you want to be philosophical about it. The problem is there's no upper zone loops. If you look at the card, lives for the moment, this is what I commonly call a sociopath. But it's not really a sociopath because it's not violent. But all the strokes, the entire letters, big fluffy middle zone writing, doesn't have any strokes in the upper zone. If you remember our basic introduction, the upper zone is philosophies and ideas. The lower zone is physical. So they are physical and in today. And so basically they're immature. They don't plan ahead because they live for the moment. Interesting thing when you do analysis for someone with this big fluffy middle of the zone handwriting, anything goes, because truthfully they're like a ship with no rudder. They just go whatever comes along. So really your analysis will be accurate, but they will sometimes deny it, and or they have various different personality traits. It really is quite an unusual characteristic to find, in, especially in adults. Now, you find it a lot in teenagers, especially teenage girls, because they tend to do get in trouble and do live in the moment. But as an adult, it's not a trait that we usually want to have around, especially in the office. However, people usually do grow out of it, because you just can't continue living in the moment all your life, or you can't plan ahead. The next trait is called lying. And look at the L's under lying. And it's a double loop. And this is interesting. Apparently, I was kind of not clear on this trait, because a couple of students in our certification course thought that the pathological liar was a small little loop, like on the left one. Well, actually, pathological liar is in the middle of the card. The double loop, really huge. What it is, basically, any loop in the letter O is a secretiveness. If it's on the right side, that's other people, so it's secretive to other people. If it's on the left side, it's secretive to yourself. If it's in both sides, it's secretive and self-deceit, so you end up lying. And the bigger the loops, the bigger the lying. Every time I've seen this, it's been accurate. Although they won't always tell you that it's accurate, and sometimes you have to watch their body language to find out. But if you tell someone they're a liar and they deny it, then they're pretty much, either way, they're kind of they're kind of a liars. They can't really get out of it. Be diplomatic when you see the trait lying. Also, when you do analysis and you see self-deceit or lying, realize the person will probably not agree with everything you say. And why wouldn't they? They lie anyway, so why wouldn't they lie to you? Secretive, self-deceit, those are also cards which explain more of the communication. Remember, the communication today is in the middle zone, so it makes sense of the O's and the A's. If the O is open on top or the A is open on top, it's like an open mouth. Talkative. It's very logical. Handwriting is very logical. If you learn it by these individual strokes, it'll be real easy to move on to the advanced levels. Another hell trait is low self-esteem. I think we talked about it a little bit. If you look in the L's, low self-esteem, you'll see the T on the lower portion of the stem in the letter T. Also, maybe a personal pronoun I that is very small. If anyone ever makes a personal pronoun I with a lowercase I, you know they have a self-esteem problem. And the signature, the smaller signature, the less value they place on themselves and with the world. I always say that it's a cardinal sin to date without knowing these hell traits. Because if you value yourself, you'll use your logic to make selection processes. Once they pass the screening process logically, then you can let your heart just jump and go wild. And don't get me wrong, I've let my heart jump and go wild a few times, and I always paid the price for it later. One of those traits is called need for a challenge, and I will see this a lot, actually, in women and in men equally. And what it is, it's in the end card. It's actually what I call a stinger, S-T-I-N-G-E-R. It's kind of a little hook in the C and the D. And what it really is, it's an anger at the opposite sex. So if you're a woman, it would be an anger at men. If you're a man, it'll be anger at women. And it's interesting because sometimes anger, we attract things that we don't want. So what you're trying to do, if you have this trait, is you're trying to attract the strongest man and then conquer him. And so what happens is the weak ones you walk all over and the strong ones you find attractive. So if you have this little hook here, you're dating somebody, this little hook in the A and the C and the D, either or, then they're going to need a challenge. So don't give in. Don't get whipped. Keep that challenge going because they're going to like that. You also find that they kind of start fights once in a while. It's a little bit of anger, and I attempt to avoid people with this kind of anger because they end up starting fights when it's not necessary. Another bad trait that I don't like is dual personality. We talked about that a little bit earlier. It's a slant that goes back and forth. It's under the D's, slant back and forth, slant variation. It will be cold and icy one day and hot and warm the next. That is the weather forecast for someone with dual personality. Definitely a challenge. I wanted to mention that the personality is so complicated. It's not always just because of the handwriting so-and-so. Our beliefs make up a large portion of it. It's a favorite quote of mine by one of my favorite authors named Richard Bach. He says, argue your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. You see, our beliefs create a reality. So if you can begin now to change your beliefs about what's possible, about what kind of mate you want to attract, about how much money you're going to make, about how people will respect you, all these beliefs will change your reality. I know it's hard to believe that, but you know, Napoleon Hill spent almost 20 years interviewing every successful man and woman in the country. He was hired by the rich man named Andrew Carnegie. If you've never read this book, you ought to go out and read it. It's called Think and Grow Rich. And the title says it all. If you think about things, it tends to come true. Not talking about positive affirmations, but just the thought and stating it into the universe tends to make things come true, which is another reason it works when you work on yourself and change your handwriting, because part of you understands what you're doing. And that constant thinking about changing, about improving, about setting your goals, which is in the 30-day workbook, all that puts it into reality because you think, therefore I am. I think that's what Descartes said in one of the great classic books of Western literature. So if your life isn't exactly how you want it now, the first place to change is your thoughts. Don't blame the world. Don't blame your mother. Don't blame your father. Just stop and say, this is where I am. This is where I want to be. What's it going to take to get there? And that's what you do. So if your life is the way it is, you must change your beliefs about what's possible. I would go read Think and Grow Rich, go read Unlimited Power by Anthony Robbins, read all the stuff that I've written. It's all very positive and uplifting, and it makes sense when you realize that your thoughts do create your reality. Now, what about graphotherapy? I want you to change your handwriting. I really do. But if you don't own a copy of the Change Life in 30 Days workbook, or your kids don't own a copy of the kids' workbook, don't change it yet, because there's certain things that I want you to change and certain things that probably aren't good for you to change. Remember a story of Dr. Walker. This guy changed his slant, and he ended up dancing on the bar, calling people names, and really embarrassing himself and embarrassing his wife. And he said, well, Dr. Walker told me to change this. And he said, no, I didn't. I didn't tell you to change that. I told you to change this, not that. So it depends on what you are, what your fears are, because it's like, you know, giving somebody an Uzi weapon without any training. You could get out of control. So you got to be careful about what you change. On the same token, I want you to do whatever it takes to make your life great. You need to take an inventory of where your life lacks, whether it's spirituality, financially, whether it's that you're bored at your job, whether you want a challenge. Maybe you want to give lectures once a week. Maybe you want to go help kids. I don't know what it is, but whatever your dream is, write it down and make it a reality. Take whatever steps. I tell you what, if you change your handwriting, change the TOR, that will be a first step to doing that. There's a lot of books you can read. I won't list all of them to go in there. But let me give you another suggestion. Play with the handwriting. Go talk to people. Go talk to business people. It will open so many doors for you. You see, what I decided was that after college, I thought, well, this isn't working. This real job thing isn't working at all. Here I am making just a few bucks an hour, driving an old Buick in a single apartment, totally lonely. I said, you know what? This is not working. I had the most positive feedback, the most success when I was doing the handwriting. And I just decided mediocrity and poverty are just too expensive price to pay. So I looked around at all my opportunities, and I realized that, you know, I'm going to go for it in the handwriting business. And from that decision, boom, I created $38,000 through the bank that year. I got on national TV within a few months after that and even published my first book. I started teaching. I started training. I said all the things. I live in my dreams. And it's all because I made a decision of what's possible. So I don't know if handwriting is what you want to do, but there's plenty of room out there. If you listen to our tapes that Phyllis Mattingly and I have done for the marketing system, she'll tell you. She lives in a town of 100,000 people, and she makes, I can't tell you what she makes. She makes really good money, more than most people make with 3 degrees on the wall. And there's plenty of room out there, plenty of room, and I encourage all my students to start doing it. There's a real simple way to do it. You simply start making lectures. You get certified. I go through the whole step process in our marketing system, which has just been released, even get the copy of that computer program which I talked about. But I tell you what, first you got to change your belief system about what is possible. I never believed I could be on TV. I never believed I could be an author. I never believed I could really make a difference in people's lives. But I believe it now. And I risked going broke. I risked rejection. I risked failure. And it all turned out okay. Because now I don't think there's any failure. I think there's only results. So if it doesn't work, it's simply a result of how not to make it work. So I always have that backdrop or that safety net for me when I try something new. My father used to say, learn from others' mistakes. It costs less than learning from your own.
All right, I hope you've enjoyed this special report. I know it's a good hour-long MP3. It really has lots of information and lots of good resources for beginning handwriting analysis. But let this be the beginning. Remember, the Handwriting University membership site has lots of content, lots of bonus MP3s every month for members, and it's a very low monthly price. And as soon as you get that monthly membership, remember, you can come to a live event. You can even come to teleclasses, which are held live every month, either on the internet or by telephone. And more importantly, you can get the home study course. You know, we've been seminars every year, recorded some of the best ideas and some of the best lectures on DVDs and CDs, and you can have them shipped to your home, even get finance. So you too can become a certified expert, whether it's a hobby or it's a new profession. Please check out the Certification Home Study course from Handwriting University. There's lots of web pages that you can check that out. I recommend going to myhandwriting.com and read that page, the link that says Get Certified, or visit handwritinguniversity.com and also look for the certification page or the membership. And, of course, I will be speaking with you live this month on the member telecall or every month after that. Hope you enjoyed the MP3 program. Have a great day.